Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, is it not? So good to see so many precious faces. And I don't know that I'll get around to see all of you today, but I'll sure do my best. I want to just, if nothing else, just to shake your hand and tell you how good it is to see you. And Brother Bird, I echo your sentiments. Some call it heaven, but I call it home. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to that great day in which we'll finally be home. We celebrate homecoming cheer, and we're just, we have times together. But you know, it changes every time we come, doesn't it? There's some people that are not here this year that were here the last time I was here. They're resting with the Lord Jesus. And but we're going to that place where there'll be none of that. We'll be able to just rejoice and praise the Lord forevermore. Well, if you'll take your Bible this morning and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Thank you, Pastor Tim, for your kindness and for the opportunity to share in your pulpit. And thank you, Lake Garfield, for your invitation for me to come back. When he called me and told me that Brother Burt wouldn't be preaching, I was a little disappointed because I was looking forward to hearing Brother Burt. That man can preach, folks. You hear him sing, but he can preach. And I was just a little disappointed that I didn't get to hear him preach. And I told him, I said, well, you could invite anybody you wanted to, you know. They said, no, we still want you. So thank you. Maybe after today you may change your mind about that. But I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here. I've just been listening and watching and hearing people talk, and so many, many memories this flood, that's when we're in times like these, good memories, spiritual, Holy Spirit memories that God has blessed us with while we were here. And when I come back to Lake Garfield, I come back home. And that's so good. It's so good to just come back and feel welcomed and loved like you folks do. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hebrews chapter number 13. I want us to look at verse number 8, and we'll go as God leads us on verse number 8, a very familiar verse. It just simply says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's just pause again for prayer. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity to be in this special day, in this special place. Lord, for this opportunity just to share from the Word of God. Help us, Jesus. We are totally dependent upon you. We'll make a mess, Lord. The old song that Brother Burt just sang, I can't even walk without you holding my hand, is so true. Lord, it's true of this time here. It's true, Lord, that nothing will be accomplished or nothing will be done that's worthy of anything, Lord, if you don't do it through us. God bless this dear church, this dear pastor, his family, his wife, their ministry. Lord, may souls be birthed into the kingdom of God. Lord, may this place continue to be the lighthouse, God, that you've appointed it and called it to be. May this place be a place where people can come and experience your awesome, awesome love. Lord, just give us the Holy Spirit right now, fresh and anew. Give us clarity of mind and clarity of thought and clarity in voice. And most of all, Jesus be exalted and glorified. Be lifted up And Lord, may your people be blessed. And may there be someone here today, Lord, that does not know you. And Lord, may today be their day. May this day not only be a day of rejoicing and praising God for this great celebration, but may it be a day in which their name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, thank you for all you've done. Thank you for what you're about to do. And God, we just thank you, Lord, for your mighty, mighty work in our lives. In Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. The immutable, unchangeable Christ. See, folks, we serve a Lord and a Savior who never has to change. Things change, don't they? Sometimes methods change. Sometimes our lives change. But we can be so thankful that our Savior never changes. Never changes. You know, governments change. Families change. Lives change. But he doesn't. The Bible says, "For I am the same. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Malachi 3:6. The Lord Jesus has never changed. He will not change. He cannot change. We serve that unchangeable Christ. The word in verse 8, the word same, it's kind of it's a word that concentrates on a particular person. Just means self, him, his own self. It designates an individual person. And the center of that verse, the center of this chapter, the center of this book is Jesus Christ. He's the one that we focus on. Back in chapter 12 and verse number 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus never changes. You say, well, how does that fit into our celebration? Real good. It fits in real good. Because you see, as we look at this, we look at Jesus, we see that he has never changed, and he doesn't change in character, in who he is. You see, we celebrate today a glorious past history in this church. You're celebrating 72 years. That's pretty good in a day in which a lot of churches are closing down, folks. That's a great testimony. And the reason it is because this church, or the people that started this church, had a vision of winning a community and preaching to a community Jesus Christ. See, the history of this church, the strength of this church, is Jesus. Amen. When the preachers preached here years ago and all of that, they preached Jesus. Because he's the answer, folks. Jesus Christ is still the answer today to all the perplexities, all of the problems, all of the things we face. Jesus Christ is still the answer. It is because of his character. That word Jesus, it's the Latin, the Greek and the Latin for the Hebrew Jeshua or Joshua, which simply means the Lord is my salvation. The Lord is our salvation. The psalmist cried out in Psalms 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? See, in John the Baptist, one day while he was in prison, he got concerned. There must have been some discouragement in John's life. And he said unto him, art thou, his disciples said, art thou to Jesus, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? You know, sometimes we hear questions today about the same thing. Should we look for another Savior? Should we look for another Messiah? The answer is no. Jesus is still Savior. He is still capable and able to save people and change their lives. As a church, it's still about Jesus. It's still about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus answered John and said unto them, talking about John, go and show John again. Go and show John again these things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Folks, it's still about Jesus. It was Jesus in the past. He didn't change a bit. He's still, matter of fact, he's the one that walked the shores of Galilee. He's the one that touched these people. He's the one that changed their lives. And that's still the one that we preach. That's still the one that we present to people. We give to people. We tell people about. He's still the one in character. Jesus. And then it says Jesus Christ. Christ, of course, is the Messiah, the anointed one. To Joseph, the angel said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. I like that, don't you? Amen. I'm still glad he's able to save people from their sins. Amen. He's the answer. He's the cure for sinfulness. He's the one that can save and keep save and sustain. He's the one. The Messiah. Son of David was a popular messianic title of that day. He was called Son of David on several occasions. When people needed him, they cried out, Son of David. The Messiah. Jesus Christ. The Bible says, who his own self bore our own sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. Well, listen, Jesus hasn't changed in character. He's still the same one that was here over 2,000 years ago. He is still the one that's here today through the person of the Holy Spirit. He's still just as powerful as he was then. He's still just as strong. He still has the ability to change people's lives, folks. Jesus Christ hasn't changed one bit. See, he hasn't changed in his past, and he hasn't changed in our past. I'm glad I got a history with Jesus, aren't you? Amen. I'm glad I know him. I've known him. He saved me. He changed my life. He called me. He's still Jesus Christ, the darling Son of God. So we see that he's the same in character, but he's also the same in call. Notice it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today. And today, grasp that, and today. We read about him in the Bible. We read about him in the Scriptures. We've studied about him. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we just relegate him to history, and that's about as far as it goes. But I want you to know, you can't regulate him, and you can't push him back in history and leave him there. You can't do it. Because he's still just as real today as he was then. He's still a real Savior. A real Messiah. You see, in the call, and how we relate that is that when Jesus saved people in the past and he called people, He's still saving people in the present, and he's still calling people in the present. Right today, he's still calling people. It's amazing. Time after time after time, we encounter opportunities and situations where we just tell people about Jesus. And he still has the same effect on people. You know, you can talk about God all day long. But once you bring Jesus into the situation, it changes everything. It changes people's, they'll think different of you. They'll see things different. By the way, folks, it's all right to say Jesus. It's all right to own the name and praise the name of Jesus. It's all right to say Jesus. Doesn't offend him a bit. Others may be offended, but Jesus doesn't get offended. See, the purposes in Christ's plan. Let's back up and look at this chapter. And by the way, it just seems like the writer here just in this whole, and matter of fact, it's kind of a benediction. He's closing out the chapter, the book. And it's almost like he's talking about people. He's talking about angels. He's talking about leaders and that type of thing. And it just seems like all of a sudden, right in the middle of this chapter, he brings up Jesus. He brings up Jesus and he talks about his plan. In verse 3, he said, "Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body of Christ." You see, the purpose in the call of Jesus is to witness, to tell others about him, sharing with others. Jesus said this, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." That's why he came. That's his whole purpose. His sole purpose of coming was to save lost humanity. That's still his purpose. That's still his plan. This church has had a glorious past and reaching people and leading people to faith in Jesus Christ. This church has had a great history. But folks, the history doesn't end it. What about today? We may change methods of reaching people, but our goal is still the purposes of Jesus in sharing the gospel with lost humanity. That's still his goal. He hasn't changed goals. He hasn't changed anything. Men are still sinners. People are still separated from Jesus Christ. They still need a Savior. Jesus is still the one. Amen. He's still the one. He calls us to witness. He calls us to tell people about him. Yeah, one day this week, Lynn and I were in a store up in Winter Haven. And we were looking for a turkey for Thanksgiving. And we'd moved around and we're standing. I was looking at the bananas. I like bananas. And was looking at these bananas. And I looked up and there was a lady. She was on the counter. She was helping people. And she said, "Move these people back." So the folks kind of separated. She pointed her finger at me. And I thought, what have I done now? I thought, am I under arrest? I did not shoplift. I didn't find anything, you know. She said, "There was a man in here, and that man told me to tell you to preach the word." And I said, "Well, who was it?" She said, "I don't know." Said, "He just told me to tell you that." I said, "Does he come in here often?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "The next time he comes, you tell him to preach a word. And tell him I shared that with him, you know." Anyway, these folks started going through the line, and we got at the end of the line, come through, and got up there to pay for our items, and she said, "I'll take care of this." And I said, "No, no, 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 no." I said, "Let me." She said, "No, sir. I'll take care of it." I said, "Well, thank you." She said, "Well, you may need to pray for me sometime." And I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "You know, this job's all right, but sometimes it gets pretty bad." She said, "It's not been about 2 hours ago, some guy come through there mad and angry, and she said, he called me every name in the book." And she said, "You know, that's tough." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, it is tough." And I said, I will pray. She said, well, pray that the Lord will make me humble. I said, no. You don't want to be made humble. I said, you want to be made sweet. And Jesus will make you sweet. Amen. We still preach Jesus, folks. I don't know about you, but I'm just going to keep right on preaching Jesus because I believe He's the answer. And He still calls us to do that. He calls us to do it on a personal basis. Well, He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You know, there's a there's an idea here talking about today witnessing. But in Jesus Christ being the same yesterday and today and forever. You see, folks, the history of a church is important. I used to go back and read the history and read about things that happened in the past and, you know, just get real blessed and all that. But here's a side note that I'd like to leave with you. If a church's foundation is cracked and crumbling, they don't know where they've come from. They don't know where they're going, and the future is in jeopardy. You see, that foundation must be built on Jesus Christ. It has to start there, and it has to carry right on down through the history of that church. Folks, you're here today because Jesus put you here. Amen? We're here today because Jesus put us here. We're here today because He's our Savior, and we're here today to keep telling the lost world that Jesus is the answer. He is the answer. Folks, there's not another answer. There's not another person, not another plan, not another Messiah. Jesus Christ is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. He still is. Well, we find out that not only is there a purpose in Christ's plan, but there's also the purity in Christ's plan. Backing up to number four, it says, marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. The Lord expects purity in life, and Jesus will produce purity in life. I notice, you know, as I look over the scriptures, it's interesting that when He begins to talk about purity, He talks about sexual purity, morality, walking before God, living before God. But He just simply said, marriage is honorable. It's still honorable. It's still honorable. Marriage is still honorable. You know why? Because it's a God thing. Amen. It's a God thing. Man didn't think marriage up. If he had, he'd have messed it up. God. And you see, what man does with marriage, he messes it up anyway. But he talks about the purity in life. The Bible says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. God still expects holiness out of you and I. Jesus Christ produces holy living in our lives. That's what we're supposed to do. Church, God still calls you to do that. He still expects you to do that. He still demands that we as His children do that. I've learned a lot of things about marriage. Not easy. Not easy. You folks, well, Lynn and I celebrated 25 years here, seemed like forever ago. You folks said, good job. But then you haven't helped me with anything else along the line. You know what? It's been 25 years since we've done that. We're rocking up toward 50 in about 2 weeks. Amen. Yeah, praise God. That's all we can say. because God's good. And it's the Lord that builds it. Oh, listen, my friend. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday. Jesus Christ, the same today. He's still the same. And He'll be the same in eternity. He'll be the same. He'll be the one that we get to see. He'll be the one that we get to touch and hold. I was reading this week about Mary Magdalene, you know, when Jesus arose from the grave and she finally, when she had that conversation with Him, she wrapped her arms, I believe she wrapped her arms around Him, around His feet and held on real tight because she knew who He was. He'll be the same in the consummation. When He ends all this, and He'll be the one that ends it. Let me just share that. Jesus Christ is coming again. And He'll have the last say-so in this thing. Won't be no political party. Won't be no some kind of dictator. Jesus Christ will have the last say-so. We're still winners. Amen. We're still winners, church. You're still a winner. If you're a son of God, you're still a winner. Because we got Jesus in our hearts and our lives. You see, in our consummation, we do it in our praise and thanksgiving to Him and Him alone. It's all about Jesus. In verse 15, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. We're coming up on Thanksgiving, a day in which we celebrate. But Thanksgiving ought to be a day every day that you give. It ought to be every day. We ought to be giving the Lord thanks every day, folks. Every day we ought to just wake up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that You've done. My family, friends, a church family. Thank you, Jesus, even for this dear country we live in, folks. You folks remember our pastors reminded us today is Veterans Day. Have you said thank you to a veteran lately? Have you looked at them and told them how much you appreciated their service and their sacrifice? If you haven't, you need to do that. I sat last night at my great-grandson's 13th birthday, and I got talking to his papa. And I've been to this home several times where my granddaughter lives, and it's been kind of tough to witness there because it's just one of those things. The Lord Jesus is not there. I mean, He is through my granddaughter, but anyway, he and I were just sitting talking, and I noticed he had a hat on the Marines and all that. So he and I got talking about military service, and he told me when he's in the Marines and everything, and it just, our conversation just went on into the things of the Lord. That's how the Lord wound that thing up. But I told him, I said, listen, sir, I said, I want to tell you this, and I said, I don't know whether you were involved in any conflict or not, it don't make no difference, you were available. And I said, thank you, sir. Thank you for willing to serve in the military. Hey, folks, this country, let me remind you this, and you know this, this country wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the blood of thousands and thousands and thousands of men who were willing to pay the price. They felt it was worth dying for. And if it's worth dying for, then bless the Lord and praises be unto Jesus, it's worth living for. It's worth living for Jesus. It's worth every prayer. It's worth every witness. It's worth every moment, every dime, every penny, everything we can do. It's worth it all. And in the process, we need to praise the Lord for it. Thank Him for it and then praise the Lord for it. Amen? And if you haven't praised the Lord, that you need to do. Well, I just don't feel like Him. That's all right. Praise Him on the credit. It'll be all right. He's worthy of our praise, folks. He's worthy of every ounce of praise you can give Him. Amen. What an awesome, awesome Savior we serve. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed since we got saved. He hasn't saved since we've been living all these years. Saw Miss Joy there. I hadn't seen her in a long time. Joy McBee. I think you, weren't you the original clerk? Missed it. Oh, just 30 years. You know what? A clerk's job is about like a treasurer's job. It's painful sometimes. But anyway, see, when they were here establishing that this church, see, Jesus was then and as he is now and as he will be in our future. And as he will be in the future of this church. He, folks, you got good, godly leadership through your pastor over here. Boy, you need to thank God for this man of God. Need to pray for him. Pray for his family, his wife, just like you did me. You pray for him. Don't be afraid to call his name out to the Lord. Pray for him, encourage him, and all that good stuff. He needs it. Because he's still preaching Jesus. You know, you can tell these Jesus preachers. They just talk and preach about Jesus. See, we can give thanks for that. We can give thanks and praise for his being the same. Well, in this consummation, in the end of this thing, the Bible says, be careful in nothing but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If we're not careful, we turn our prayers to grumbling, griping, instead of praising and thanksgiving to the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Psalms 147:1. Praise ye the Lord. It talks about singing. Bert still sings pretty good. I know he wobbles around a little bit, but he still sings. And hey, folks, singing's a part of our history. We like to sing. You know why? Because the Lord put the song in our hearts. Jesus put the song in our hearts. Well, we can still sing. Whether we be in the valley or whether we be on the mountain, we can still sing. Well, I like to sing in the shower a lot and sing to myself, because if I sing out loud, boy, people are going to be hurting. But we can still sing praises to God. We ought to still sing praises to God. Well, not only in this consummation is it our praise and thanksgiving to him alone, it's in our peace and perfection by him alone. Verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, I'll just say this to you. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work. To do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Did you catch that? Make you perfect. The Lord wants to make you perfect in every good work, everything you do, and working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. See, folks, he is our peace and our perfection. That word make you perfect means several things to several people. To a doctor, it means to set a broken bone. To a fisherman, repair a broken net. To sailors, it's to outfit a ship for a voyage. God is in the process, folks, of making you perfect. You say, well, you mean talking about sinless? No. Mature in Christ means mature and complete. Not sinless, but as Peter says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep on growing. Don't stop. Don't quit growing. Just keep on growing. Keep on seeking the Lord. Keep on seeking Jesus. He said himself, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open. Listen, folks. Jesus is still the answer. Amen. He was the answer in the past. He's the answer in the present. He'll be the answer in the future. If you live another 10 years, he'll still be the one that you can depend on 10 years down the road. He'll help you. So I say to you, church, keep looking to Jesus. Keep holding on to Jesus. Our future's bright. Amen? Our future's bright. We're not defeated. We're not beat up on. We might get beat up on a little bit. We're not going down. Church is going up. The Lord has a plan for it to go up. Continue to be a part of your church. Just don't come every once in a while. Be here all the time. Pastor needs you. Church needs you. Be here. Because Jesus Christ is still the same. He's the same yesterday, same today, and praise God, he'll be the same tomorrow. We don't have to worry and look for somebody else. Jesus Christ is still the one, still the main one. I just say to you, keep looking for Jesus. Pastor.